Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We're your hosts, Marissa Novelli.
And Ross Barber.
Today on the show, we have UK photographer Amy Zara. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you guys?
I'm well.
Good.
How are you, Ross?
Good.
You good?
Yeah.
How are you, Amy? Are you good? Are you well?
I'm well, yeah.
Good, good. So right off the bat, we'd like to ask you three things about yourself that everyone should know.
I always have a trouble with this one. Three things everyone should know. I guess the standard thing is that I'm a perfectionist, but I suppose everybody who's working towards a goal is going to say that. I love pizza. That's always a key thing. Everybody loves pizza. Also, I think probably that I'm my worst critic. I think I like people knowing that because it gives you an insight into a person, I suppose. So I'm going with those. Like the second one particularly.
Which one was the second one?
The pizza.
Yeah, that's one of our
pizza
that's
sounds
our
so good
questions.
Right now.
Yes.
Ross, are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm so hungry. You know, and since you said pizza, I really want to order one.
I'm just getting your point, Ross. You're always hungry.
I am always hungry.
I think he's always hungry. You got started in photography at the age of 13, didn't you?
Yeah.
What triggered that sort of, passion or drive to get into photography?
You know what? I do think about this a lot. I don't think it was anything in particular, really. I just, like a lot of people who start things from a young age, you just kind of start doing it. There was a camera around. I took some pictures. I liked it. And at the time, I used PaintShop Pro to edit my pictures. So not Photoshop. Yeah, not Photoshop at all. And I don't know. It's just kind of fun. And it spurred on from that, I guess.
Is PaintShop, is that like Windows Paint?
Or
is that like the Mac equivalent?
No, PaintShop Pro is like the kind of, I want to say, like the sort of bargain version of Photoshop, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
I got you.
It's similar to Photoshop, but it's not as advanced or powerful.
Do you remember your first paid job?
Wow, no, I actually can't remember what that was. It's been a while.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's awesome. So, well, do you remember a time where you weren't getting paid for your work?
Yeah, kind of like now still.
Well, that's actually interesting because I was going to ask you, you know, obviously I assume you're into this not to get paid, you know what I mean? Because it's your passion. But I'm also assuming there's a point where you are getting some sort of money for your work. So what sort of feeling does that give you and some sort of gratification to be doing what you love, doing your passion, but also being able to bring in some income doing it? Because that's any artist's dream, right?
Yeah, being paid for being creative. That's a dream. It was a dream. It feels good. It feels kind of surreal still. You know when you're young and you play house and it doesn't really feel real, but you're kind of doing it? That's how it feels still. Because it's not, I can't financially at the moment keep it alone without anything else. So it does still feel like I'm playing house and people give me money for taking pictures and making them pretty colors. It's weird still, even now.
Right.
It's kind of surreal, yeah.
You have a natural diploma in photography as well as a BA in press and editorial photography.
Yeah.
Now, I think Russ and I both have this question because it's often the debate between education and experience. Now, do you find a benefit to both? Do you find that one is more important than the other? What's your opinion on that?
I think you need both. I think you need that natural drive for it, but the experience in the industry that education gives you is beneficial if you're on the right course.
Did you find that it took you out of that creative mindset and put you more into a technical mindset where like things have to be a certain way? Or did you find a good balance between learning techniques but also keeping your artistic side? Because sure, there are certain rules, you know, within music, within photography, within web design, within any artistic form. But I think it's so important to break those rules too.
I think it does make you focus on lighting and getting the perfect exposure and not getting a blurry shot. Whereas a lot of the time, if it's a bit underlit, it can look amazing and it can create the mood. Or if it's slightly blurry, it creates movement in the picture. Whereas now, even still, if it's a blurry shot, I'll delete it. I won't even think about it. I'll just, oh, it's blurry, it's not in focus, I'll just get rid of that, it's useless. But actually, you shouldn't do that, because it is actually more technical. Yeah, you're right, it does. Whereas before, even before I did the college course that I got, it was more creative and I suppose more artistic than studied. So yeah, I agree, it does unfortunately take you away from it.
It's maybe important to know the techniques, like to know the technical background and to know the reasons why certain things work.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, once you know how something works and you know the ins and outs of it, you can then use it to bend it and adapt it into something of your own. So
if you could go back to before you went to school, knowing what school would kind of do to you as a photographer, would you still do it?
Yeah, I think I would, because, cool. I mean, besides, I think I'd probably choose a different course.
On what, your diploma or BA?
My degree, yeah. I mean, the diploma went really well. I was really happy there and I grew a lot there, but the degree definitely would have changed different course, but it allows you to use the facilities, which would take years to get money-wise. And
right, yes.
That's massive. That's huge. But I would probably choose a different course and maybe think about it a bit more, because I didn't really. I was young. Mm-hmm. I still am young, but I was much younger mentally, so I didn't. Mm-hmm. I just thought, oh, it's by the sea, that's cool, let's do it. When that's not that it's all about, really.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And I think a lot of us do that because we feel like we're done high school, what are we supposed to do now? Okay, go to university. But I think
too young to make that decision.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, some people have it figured out and it works out for them. You know, for me, and I think it seems like for all three of us, it's looking back, it's like maybe now we would know, you know? So, I mean, the lesson here, kids, don't go to school.
That's a good message. I like it.
That'll be the title of this. Amy Zara says, stay out of school, kids. So I guess the great debate between photographers as well as filmmakers is film versus digital. Do you have a preference?
Yes, I do. Easy preference. I'm saying digital as Yeah, I know. It's bold. It's bold.
Mm-hmm.
I will be talked about for this opinion, but...
Controversial.
Yeah. I'm saying, digital easily, because I don't want film to be obsolete. I don't want it to disappear because I love Polaroids. I've always wanted a Polaroid camera and still haven't got one. But
I had one as a kid.
Those are awesome.
I want it. Come on, you guys. I think digital, it's one of the things that technology's advancement has really helped us. I mean, a good example is nowadays smartphones. Are they good? Are they bad? Social media, is it good? Is it bad? I mean, all the evils are cropping up and everyone's seeing the bad side of it, whereas digital photography, it only helps you. It only helps you, and you can take as many shots as you want and it hardly takes up any room. I don't see any downside to it. Actually, no, I see one downside. You probably think about your shots less composition-wise. Mm-hmm. Because it's throwaway, isn't it? Oh, that one's not good, then let's take another one. Whereas, obviously, film, it's slower. You think about it more, but it costs a lot.
You know, I'm completely with you on this. And, I mean, I can understand. I really think there's pros and cons to both. You know, like you said, with film, I think, you know, I can liken this to audio production, too. A tape versus digital recording. It's kind of the same debate going on. And it really is just a different mindset, I think, for each. Digital, what allows you with all different mediums is the ability to manipulate, and which sometimes can be a bad thing. But I think a lot of times it allows you to get your vision out. I mean, just like animation or, you know, special effects in movies. But the thing with film, too, is a lot of people are very kind of stuck on that. And I understand where they're coming from. But I don't, like you said, also when it comes down to money. You know, when it comes down to money and being able to make your art I guess, simply put, you know, it's such an amazing tool, which, you know, that leads me to my next question. You're big on digital manipulation, right?
Yeah.
And that makes sense why you're not as big on film.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of, you know, what kind of things do you do with Digimon, like with Photoshop or Illustrator, whatever tools you do? What's kind of your angle when you work with your photographs? What do you, what's kind of your approach and your goal using digital manipulation?
Okay, so are we speaking, we're speaking portraits at least, so with people, right?
Sure.
Yeah, easily. I mean, it, depending on what the kind of shot is, if it's gritty, then you obviously look into airbrushing a lot less because you want the rawness of it. But generally, if we're going for a straight up portrait, I'd probably look into evening out the skin tones, you know, dodging, burning, that sort of thing. I do have my little tricks, which I probably won't give away right now to the world. Girls got to keep something in my cage. But generally smoothing the whole thing over, making sure if you haven't done it when you took the picture, making sure the lighting's fine. Colors are a big thing. I have to, I pretty much everything, I'll edit the colors and everything. Even if it looks like it's straight off the camera, it will have been color tweaked slightly.
Right. Well, you know, that's something that I really want to ask you about, because it's something that's a pretty heated debate on online and also within my friends in speaking of this, is the use of Photoshop to, for example, I guess, thin out women and to make people unrealistically thin, unrealistically pretty, I guess. And, you know, I think that, for example, digital manipulation will get a bad rap because of that. But, I mean, just because there's a tool that can do something doesn't mean that that tool is bad. You know, it's just, you know, where's kind of your limit in using digital manipulation? And what's your opinion on, you know, just about every magazine using, you know, I think there was something that's recently circulated online where the model actually posted her original photo next to the digital manipulation.
I've seen that.
Yeah, and it's actually really, she's beautiful. Like, she doesn't need to
she's
be
gorgeous,
adjusted.
Yeah.
Not that anyone needs to be adjusted. It's a sensitive topic, so I'm very careful when I say it. But I'd love to hear, you know, a photographer's opinion of it and someone who is very big on digital and digital manipulation.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and coming from a woman as well, I think, is very key.
Yeah, definitely. Well, starting from my side of it, I have thought about this a lot, especially when I used my friends as models back in the day. It's something if I'm going to enhance the look of someone, to put it nicely, I would do it so that it looks natural, so that they still look like themselves, just maybe a smoothed out version of themselves.
Like removing some blemishes or anything, like
stuff.
Like evening out skin tone, like you said.
Exactly, yeah. And if maybe they have a small chub roll on the side, I might push it in slightly, but that's okay. It's fine, in my opinion. But I think when it becomes unrealistic and you change almost the whole look of someone, I think there's a line there. And it's similar in the world of media. I mean, every single advert, every celebrity portrait minus a handful are going to be manipulated to hell, really. It's shocking. I mean, you see blog posts of it. I mean, there's one, I'm sure a lot of people have seen it before. It's one of Madonna, before and after, a portrait of her not too long ago. And yeah, she's aged. She has aged.
Which is what happens, right?
It is what happens, yeah. But the media, they edit that out because you're not meant to see these wrinkles. You can't see the cellulite.
Yeah, and I think...
unrealistic.
And that goes... That kind of speaks volumes to why people all feel like they need to look 20 years old for the rest of your life. And, you know, why people... And this is not talking about people keeping themselves healthy. I'm talking about doing things to, you know, just to maintain a certain look that, you know, society is saying that... this is the norm, and that's what you need to look like, right? And that's kind of the scary thing, because the amount of, I want to say young girls, because it's true, but the amount of women in general that have eating disorders and all these different things that, you know, I'm definitely very sensitive to, and, you know, it's definitely completely related to, I think, the way women are portrayed in the media, and the fact that unrealistic things are being done in digital manipulation. Right, and that's something that's very worse, and it's starting to change. I can't remember. I should have all my facts together for the show. But there is a magazine now. I actually think you might know it, because I think it's in the UK. You know, I'll do my research after and have it under here. But they're actually not. Other than enhancements, they're not adjusting like their models anymore unrealistically. And it's really cool. It's a bold move, and I think there's a movement going on right now. But yeah, that's very interesting to get your angle on it. So you feel like enhancement is okay, you know, but making someone look unrealistic, that it's not even recognizable, that's not okay.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard. It's so difficult. Yeah, because I mean, the thing is, you see the fashion magazine covers, and as someone who is very involved in fashion photography, mm-hmm. it's difficult to say, no, that's too much, because mm-hmm. the industry is like that. It's probably hypocritical for me to even say that. But these covers that you get, and the models who are on the covers, they look great. And they look amazing. And it's probably then also a knock-on effect for sales. I mean, if this magazine put a natural image of someone on, would it sell enough? Are they even man enough to make that change?
I guess the idea is, like, if everyone starts putting, you know, a natural woman on there, that's what we will be accustomed to.
A domino effect.
Yeah, yeah, and then everyone's kind of doing that. We're not expecting these unrealistic, you know, images of women anymore, right? And that are unrealistic, that, you know, for example, young girls, they can't, you know, because most young girls, they're looking to any young person, actually. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't just say young people. People in general often look at people they admire and, you know, want to kind of attain that, right? Or inspiration, yeah, or whatever. And I mean, if it's unrealistic, you know, I can look at some artists that I'm inspired by as musicians or whatever, singers. You know, I guess that actually goes to autotune. You know, oh, they're such great singers until you see them live. But, you know, there are artists I've seen live, and they're just as great live, and they're not using autotune. And, you know, that is realistic. Oh, you know, how do I keep working to get, you know, to be able to hit that note they hit or whatever? But, you know, you're looking at magazine covers, and maybe they're not educated to understand that these are manipulated. That's the scary part. And again, like you said, there's a fine line. There's a fine
line.
You know, so do you kind of stick by your ethics? Like, that's your ethics, is that it's okay to enhance, but not where you're unrecognizable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, also what I've learned over the years is that you choose your models for how they look, unfortunately. It's a very vain thing. I mean, that's what fashion and portraiture is about, whether you're choosing them because they look strange or individual or, you know, beautiful or anything like that. You are choosing your models because of how they look. Mm-hmm. So if you want someone who's perfectly slim, go get someone who's perfectly slim. Don't make someone perfectly slim.
I like that.
That sort of.
I think that's perfect. I think you just put that perfectly.
Yeah.
I love it. So do you have any interesting or funny stories that may have happened while on set shooting something?
Well, I saw the brief for this interrogation, and this one actually stumped me. You know, it's difficult because I couldn't really think of anything, which is bad because I know there have been funny things that have happened. But it reminded me of this one situation where I was shooting one of my friends / models. She started off as a model and became a friend and still is. We were shooting some latex, so some latex hot pants, and we shined her all up, did a few shots. Then she went to get into a different pose, but she had a bit of a wedgie situation, and she was unable to release the situation, and I did have to step in, and we've kind of bonded from that ever since. We're a lot closer since I've had to do that.
Do you have any more of the stories? I'm awful.
No, not like that.
Not for the show, anyway.
No.
It'll up the ratings of it. Rip my
ass. Don't go to school and see naked girls. That's what I'm all about.
So what sort of advice would you give to aspiring photographers, whether it's somebody who has never, ever even touched a camera, or someone like myself who has a huge appreciation for photography and I love taking pictures, but there's an intimidation, you know, when you see someone who just does such amazing photography like yourself and that has the education behind them and everything, and you're intimidated to get involved in that. Like, what sort of thing would you say to them?
Well, I mean, you say that. It's hard as well because I'm very similar in the fact that we all have the people who we look up to and the people who sort of we saw when we were just tiny little versions of ourselves, and you think, wow, I wish I could be like that. Mm-hmm. And I still am like that. I'm still very much like that. My advice to that is just just do it. You don't have to tell anyone about it, so it doesn't have to be pressured. You don't have to say anything about it at all. You just have to do it. You have to do what you want to do.
I love that.
And keep at it. Don't look at everyone else. Yeah.
Well, I love that because that goes along with any art form. I think just do it. You know what I mean? You know, if you need to learn technique, sure. But, you know, I guess what we're learning from you as well is like education definitely helps, but it's not necessary to do when it comes to art.
No, it's not. It isn't. I wish I could have seen how I would be now, 3 years after graduating, without actually having graduated, without having gone to university. I mean, I think I still would have done the college course because when you leave school here, you're 16 and you're so young and have to do something. I know, yeah. You have to do something for 2 years until you're 18, which is still incredibly young. And I look back at my 18-year-old self and think, why? But, yeah, I'd love to see how it would have been without that university education. It could be quite eye-opening or depressing. So who knows?
I know. It's one of those things you'll never know. You can only imagine.
I'm kind of glad. I don't know. Yeah, because I don't regret anything. Nothing. But I think, I fear that if I found out what it would be like without a degree, I might regret that.
You did, and I think that, you know, that's why regret anything. You wouldn't be where you are today without doing everything you've done, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't regret a single thing, which I think is I'm actually quite happy about. Yeah. There are people saying we've got our regrets.
I'm working on that myself, so I'm working. I for the most part, you know, try to keep the mentality of you just wouldn't be who you are today, and I like myself today.
Yeah.
I hope you guys like yourself. So for better or for worse.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. But I'm still working personally on not having any regrets. That's a difficult thing to do.
It is.
But it's also important not to get caught up in that, I think. Because it's not getting you anywhere.
No, it isn't. I'm someone who does get hung up on things a lot. But yeah. I'm glad that regrets isn't one of them, which is interesting. It's very unlike me. I would never, if I knew me, I'd never say that was how I am. But yeah, everything happens for a reason. Whether it sucks, if it sucks right now, it's not always going to, and it will get better, whatever it is.
I don't usually take the approach, like, I don't know if I truly believe, like, everything happens for a reason, but I think the angle I try to take is you always have a choice of what reaction to have to something. You know what I mean? So you can either choose to let it bring you down or to learn something from it. And I always try to learn something from experience for good or, good or bad or mediocre. I always try to learn something. I think in that sense, it almost goes to lead you to not regret anything because you're learning from it anyways.
And it kind of says that everything happens for a reason because you're learning. So
there you go. I love it. So that's on common ground there. So are you ready for 20 questions?
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
Okay. We're just going to jump right into it. Okay, here we go. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies.
CD or vinyl?
CD.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Pizza or ice cream?
Pizza.
Twitter or Facebook?
Oh, Twitter. Twitter. Twitter.
Film or digital?
Oh, digital.
Jonathan Ross or Graham Norton?
Oh, Jonathan Ross, yeah.
TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
Rain or shine?
Rain. Oh, weird.
Why, is it rain?
No, because I don't like the rain. I love the shine. That's weird.
Something happened.
Something happened. Ryan Gosling or Jared Leto?
Oh, Jared Leto.
Yeah, of course. Yoga or yogurt?
Yoga.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson, yes.
Doctor Who or Sherlock?
Oh, can I say neither?
Okay, what's a third then?
You can say neither.
Harry Potter.
Oh, nice. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Jackson.
In your face, Ross. Twerk or work?
I kind of want to say twerk, which I will regret, at some point.
Do it,
twerk.
Please. Yes. Someone has to say twerk. Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Gervais.
Woo! Whale or kale?
Whale.
I thought you'd say kale. I always think a vegetarian is going to say kale.
The thing is, I'm not really sure how to eat kale. How do you buy kale?
I usually put it in smoothies. I blend in smoothies.
I have to try that.
That Midler or the Riddler?
Riddler.
And finally, drum roll please, Roz. Ross or Marcio?
Rossio?
This is
everyone wants to be politically correct and put us together. We have to pick one.
I refuse. Have you had an answer to that question yet?
In the early ones, like the first few that we recorded, because it was people that like Marcio knew really well or I knew really well.
Right.
But lately, like I think the last four in a row have all said a combination of us.
Oh yeah,
which is weird. I kind of want that to continue.
Yeah,
but then I'm interested to see who breaks that.
Are there any photographers that people need to know about?
Yes. Now, for the people who know me, it might be a surprise for me to say this, and I can explain why. This guy was in the year above me, and when I was doing my degree. And I suppose we are seen as competition, and he might not think so because he might think he's better than me, so it's not a competition. But one of the local-ish to this country photographers is a photographer called Joseph O'Brien, and he's very good at what he does. He does amazing portraiture, and he is going up and up and up. And I think we should support our peers and people who are sort of on the same level as us, even if they are technically a competition. But I think he's doing really well. I think everyone should check him out because he's producing some really, really sharp images.
You know, I think that's amazing of you because Ross and I have had these conversations before. And actually, Ross wrote a blog post about how, like, it was related to music, but I personally think it relates to anyone in the arts.
Yeah, like any creative people.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't remember the title either.
I can't remember the title of it, but it's basically
collaborations better than competition.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
And we're,
so,
you know, support each other. Don't look at your peers as competition because there's room for everybody.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't
take away from you whatsoever.
No.
You know, it doesn't take away from him, you know?
It doesn't, no. I mean, it's a shame because it's a very competitive industry, even if you're in looking at the fashion side of things or the photography side of things. It's all competitive and they're sort of sitting there thinking, oh, well, let's not share it with that person because they're doing the same thing I'm doing.
Hmm.
And him and I do quite similar things in the fact that we shoot alternative fashion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tattooed models, a lot of latex, mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever else. And we are in very similar courses. And I think it's important to just stay together because it's so hard. The industry, I mean, anything, even like with yourself, music, it's, mm-hmm. it's all so difficult.
It is.
Nothing is going to come from being enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to annoy you. It's just going to make you upset. You know? So I think it will surprise a lot of people because it's unexpected. There's not a lot of people, I suppose, who would sit there and say, yeah, my competitor is someone that you should go and check out, but he is.
That's the way it should be.
Good. Yeah, he's really good. So I think everyone should go and have a look at it and see what he does.
That's awesome. And where can people find you online? AmyZara.com?
Yes, that is my website. It's slightly outdated at the moment.
Right.
I actually build that with my father. So we have to find time out of our busy schedules of day jobs to sit down and do it. And then it's always a bit of a day affair because I say, let's have this happening. And he's all, no, that's too hard. I don't want to do that. Why do you need that?
Well, if you need a web designer, you're talking to someone right there. So.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I'm in desperate need of help with this.
Yes.
I want something new. But anyway, what I'm saying is, yes, it's there. My contact details are there. Some of my photography is there, but I'm also on Facebook.
Okay, cool. And what's your URL on Facebook?
It's facebook.com/AmyZara.
Okay.
AmyZara Photography.
Yes, your page is AmyZara Photography.
Yep,
and you're Amy_Zara on Twitter?
Yes. And that is, as I said to you guys, that's where I post all my nonsense. So
perfect.
If you want to hear ramblings, usually
I follow you. I get your updates on my phone.
Yes,
so.
You do. Yep.
Half the time you talk about stinky trains and stuff. But
I'm
it's
on a
real.
Lot of things. Yeah, it's real. It's real.
But hey, Amy, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming to chat with us and talking about all different things related to and kind of unrelated to photography, but it's been really great, and we'd love to have you come back sometime soon if you'd like to. And
I'd love to.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.